be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. We'll be back to the fruits of the Spirit. Be back on that today. Who knows which fruit of the Spirit we're going to be on? We're going in order. Gentleness. We're going to be on gentleness this morning. We're going to be dealing with gentleness. Hopefully I can read a little better. I didn't do too great in Sunday school. I was fumbling all over my words in Sunday school, fumbling all over the announcements. We'll try and get through this this morning. We'll be dealing with gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness versus the work of the flesh, which is harshness. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you would have me to say. This message was a challenge to me. Probably going to be a challenge to most of us in here. And I just ask you, Lord, to give us the words that you would have, not only for us to hear, but for me to say, and that you would get honor and glory out of all that we do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentleness is softness in manners. This can be difficult for us. I probably would say the majority for males, probably more so than ladies, though I know some ladies that are not very gentle. But we're going to struggle with this. Every one of us is going to struggle with this. Gentleness explained, manners are the way in which we act in relation to our duties in life, our behavior, demeanor, conduct, and management. Softness, when coupled with the word manners, means mildness. In other words, gentleness means mild-mannered. Manners would be our behavior. Manners would be our conduct. And we're going to look at gentleness today in two forms. First off, we're going to look at our behavior. There will never be any shortage in the opportunity to display gentleness. Something will happen. Something always happens. Are you gentle with others when it happens? Or do you bite their heads off? And you know, you can take a stand and be gentle. You can confront and be gentle. You can contend for the faith and be gentle. You may ask, how do you know? The Bible tells us to contend for the faith. It also tells us to be gentle unto all men. It also includes gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit. So if they could not both be done, then there would be a contradiction here. We know that the Bible has no contradictions. Today we have a culture that has been created even among mainstream Christianity, is that you cannot be gentle and take a stand. This would be extreme left. They don't take a stand for the sake of being gentle. But then we also have an extreme right. There's the extreme rights which believes you cannot confront and take a stand and be gentle at the same time. So there's no gentleness in their confrontation. God don't need pit bulls who are salivating at the mouth, barking like they're getting ready to devour someone in the process of taking a stand. This is our flesh when we confront and take stands this way. And it's also one's flesh who leads them to believe that in order to be gentle, it means to remain silent. It means to not confront at all. And I dare say in the society in which we live, we need to be confronting. People need to know that the things that's going on in our society today, they're not good, they're not right, and God is not happy about it. Everyone's flesh is different, which means their flesh will respond differently. Some won't stand at all. Some will stand in the wrong way. The key is to be filled with the Spirit, to be walking with God, to ensure that we're being gentle while standing. Titus 3:2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We can very easily lack gentleness when we speak evil of others, when we're ready to brawl with others and throw down, so to speak. We shouldn't be quick to attack with our words. We shouldn't be quick to react in violence, but we are to be gentle. Then lastly, showing all meekness unto all men. We'll look at meekness a little bit more further down. It's very kin to the word gentleness. We see also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Strive means to contend, to contest, to struggle in opposition, to be in contention or dispute. And I want to say that any time there's contention in the church, any time there is striving within the church, one or both is in the flesh. If both of you are in the Spirit, it's not going to be there. One or both is in the flesh. We're not to be this way. But we are to be this way instead unto all men. Gentle, apt to teach, and patient. And by the way, we expect this. We expect people to be gentle with us. We expect people to be apt to teach with us. We expect people to be patient with us. We should be this way with others. This only makes sense. The ones that you would strive with, you would not be gentle with them. You would not be apt to teach them. That takes time. It takes effort. It takes care, it takes a concern, it takes a love for them. We are to be gentle unto all men. All means all, and that's all it means. Secondly, we will notice the demeanor, the mannerisms of gentleness. If we're gentle on the inside, if the Spirit of God has indwelled us and we're walking with the Lord, then we will be gentle on the outside. It's going to be evident. It will bear witness on the outside. Have you ever seen somebody and you thought to yourself, they look like a nice, gentle person? They look caring. They look like they're concerned about others. Just overall, they just look like a gentle person. Not weak. Gentle don't mean weak. They just look like they conduct themselves in a gentle manner. You could approach them. They look like they are approachable, because they have a gentle look about them. They have a peaceable look about them. They look like you could just walk up to them and talk to them randomly. You would not get a make you feel stupid look from them. Like, who are you talking to? I don't know you. Why are you talking to me look? Or I don't have time for you look. Which, by the way, are more common looks of the day. Just harshness. A lot of people just aren't too gentle. You go out in town and a lot of people don't look gentle. And you know what? If they don't look gentle, they might not be. And you know what? When we're in the flesh, none of us is gentle. So if we're in the flesh and we're out walking around Walmart, we're not going to look gentle, because we're not. We're not gentle on the inside. We got some harsh going on the inside, because we're upset about something that's going on. We're upset about whatever's going on in our life. But we'll get to harshness soon. What I'm trying to say is that gentleness has a look. Gentleness is evident on the outside. The look of gentleness, the attitude of gentleness, the demeanor of gentleness is inviting in a world that is far from it. I cannot tell you the times that I've made time for a stranger and the conversation led to church, the Bible, trying to point them to the cross, having a look of gentleness. Now, this is not always characterized by me. And sometimes it's hard for me to express what is on the inside on the outside. I carry what I feel like just about the same look. And at times I'm happy, I'm bubbling over with joy on the inside. But on the outside, it's a straight face. So some people don't walk around smiling all day. Some people do, but some people don't walk around smiling all day. It don't mean they hate your guts. They just don't walk around smiling all day. They smile when there's a reason to smile. They smile for the camera. They smile when something's funny. But they don't just walk around smiling. Some people don't do that. I'm typically one of them. I smile when it's time to take a picture. I smile when there's something funny. My sense of humor is different than others. So sometimes when people tell a joke, I don't get the joke. But I laugh at things that nobody else laughs at. But, I mean, we're all different in that way. But there have been times where, I mean, maybe the Lord just brought them along my way. And I was able to invite them to church, able to point them to the cross, having a look of gentleness. By the way, since your demeanor reflects what's going on the inside, you don't look gentle if you're having a bad day. Now, we're going to have bad days. There's times where my face takes on a less neutral look, and it's very expressive to what I'm feeling on the inside. Now, I know that's not a gentle look. You won't carry yourself this way, or you will carry yourself this way if you're not in the Spirit. And we can all be brought out of the Spirit. I mean, when we start relying on our own self to fix our own problems, you know we just got out of the Spirit, and you know we're in the flesh. And we do that for spells every day. We're going to do that for spells every day. We're going to do that. And when we do that, we're going to take on a work of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit will not be evident in our lives. Meekness means softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocations. Without murmuring or peevishness, opposed to pride, arrogance, and refractoriness. Galatians 5:23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. The world has laws against it. Society has laws against it. You know they do because they're not very meek. They're not very gentle. So you know they have laws against it. And they fulfill those laws that they've created for themselves. I know people, and I was this way in the Marines. I wouldn't say I necessarily worked very hard on my look, but I knew that if I carried a certain look, folks wouldn't mess with me. I knew that chances are they would rethink it. And then the Lord had to start working on me and working on me from the inside. He said, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. You don't have to have this rough exterior about you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. The Lord had to teach me to break down some of the walls that I had after the Marines, because literally only about five people was within those walls and everybody else was just out of luck. That's just the way it was. I mean, and the Lord had to begin to work on my heart to tear down those walls. And you know what? There was not a look of gentleness about me. There was not a look of me being approachable. I was only approachable to those who were like me because they understood me. But those who were not like me, those who did not understand the look, those who did not have the same thing going on inside them, did not understand me, and I was not approachable to them. Self-righteous and Pharisaical Christians have laws against them. You'll see this, but in Scripture, you will not find a law of God against meekness and temperance. Temperance is being spirit-controlled. Meekness is softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance. Softness of temper, not raging in temper. Mild, not to the extreme. Gentleness, not harshness. So the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. However, the work of the flesh is harshness. Harshness is defined as roughness in manners, temper, or words. Meaning when one's temperament is such that they rudely respond to failures or their perception of failure. Easily irritated when something happens and you respond harshly. And you responded harshly because you're in the flesh, and the work of the flesh is harshness. Harshness, according to 1828, means roughness of temper, crabbedness, peevishness. Roughness in manner or words, severity. Now, we'll all struggle with this at times. We'll all struggle with harshness. I mean, maybe this last week you spoke to somebody in a way you shouldn't have. Or maybe somebody spoke to you in a way that they shouldn't have. We're going to deal with harshness. Now, if it's believers, you need to recognize that at times you're going to be in your flesh too, and you're going to speak to somebody harsh. So you need to have the same consideration, the same love for them, the same forgiveness in them that you would expect them to apply to your behalf. At times, we will look gentle and approachable, and at times we'll look like we have a sign on our forehead that says, caution, stay back 500 feet. You see those on the back of the fire trucks, right? Caution, stay back 500 feet. I used to say, and I used myself as an example. You got insect repellent. I'd spray people repellent, and it'd be on my face, and they'd know that they've been repelled when they saw me. You know, when we get in the flesh, when we get frustrated, we will carry that look. People will know. People will know as soon as you walk through them doors that you're in the flesh. They'll know as soon as you open your mouth that you're in the flesh. Because you're frustrated and you're harsh. I've seen it many a times in churches, and at times we can all be guilty of it. Folks come through the doors who are characterized by harshness. They have a harsh look. They have harsh temperament. They use harsh words, and because of that, they're not easily approachable. And I can add something else to it. If you're not in the spirit and one of the works of the flesh you can be characterized by, we can safely assume that all the rest apply. If you're not in the spirit, you'll have if you are in the spirit, you'll have the fruit of the spirit. If you're in the flesh, you'll have the works of the flesh. Not all of them may be evident in your life for others to see, but they're running your thought life maybe. They're germinating within your heart. And if you're not careful and settle it up with God, what you seek to hide from others will soon be out for everybody to see. We're dealing with the work of the flesh here, harshness. We'll look at a few scriptures for a moment dealing with harshness, then we'll wrap this message on up. But Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. It says a soft answer. Now, a soft answer is hard to give sometimes. That can be hard depending on what's been said to you, depending on what's been done to you. A soft answer can be hard. But if you're in the spirit, I believe we can have a soft answer. But if we're in the flesh, I believe we're going to have a harsh answer. We're going to have a harsh response to what somebody's doing to us. Some people wonder why they can't tell someone anything without them getting upset. And they blame it all on the individual, but they don't speak softly. Nobody wants what you're offering when you're harsh. You get wrath because you speak harshly. Nobody wants to be spoken to in a belittling, demeaning way. A soft answer turneth away wrath. We'll go a little further. Our minds are not always our best friend. If we took a vote this morning, we'd all say that our mind comes up with stuff it should not. And just like we should not act out all of our mind tells us, we should also not speak all that our mind tells us. Proverbs 29:11, and this scripture puts it blunt. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind. That's blunt. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. There's a good mix of things going on in our minds, a mix of good stuff to say, a mix of bad stuff to say, or bad things to say in a good tone or so, but the Bible is clear. A fool says all that is on his mind. You've heard people say, I gave them a piece of my mind. But what really happened is they gave them all of what they had on that particular subject. And the Bible says you were a fool when you did that. So many people think it's funny to be outspoken. Outspoken means what is in your head. You have a problem keeping it there 99% of the time. And 99% of the time, it's going to offend 99% of the people that you say it to. See, all of what you would have said changes after you've heard the whole matter. Have you ever lit into someone then found out the truth? You'd have took back half of what you said. You just wouldn't have said it if you had a better understanding. But we can be foolish at times. We can speak out of turn in our harshness, not only after you have heard the whole matter, but after you've calmed down sometimes. Some of the best wisdom that I've been told is just calm down before you open your mouth. Just calm down. Go calm down about it and then talk about it. After you calm down, you take back half of what you said already. You gave all your mind on the matter. But you were harsh because what you had to say, even though good, it could have been while angry when you spoke it. And you know what? Words spoken in a bad tone, words spoken in the wrong turn, wrong way, is just as bad as saying the wrong thing in the right way. Because they're only receiving half of it anyway. And we don't talk just to hear ourselves talk. We talk to be heard. We talk so that people can receive what we're saying. We're trying to help them. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It says no corrupt communication. The only things that should proceed out of our mouth should be words that are meet for edifying, spoken in tones that are meet for edifying. The word edifying means building up in Christian knowledge, instructing, improving the mind. The words that you say should be in a way that are not harsh, but they would be for the purpose of developing that Christian in the knowledge of God. We've said it many a times on Sunday nights in Proverbs. You want your children to receive what you're giving them. Now, as long as they're receiving it, keep doing it that way, whatever way it is that you're doing it. But if it's not working, and it don't take long to tell, you've had the discussion with them multiple times, and nothing's changed, which means you need to change your approach. You got to change your approach. It's not connecting. It's not clicking. That they're not fully receiving it. And the same thing with people. When you're trying to minister to people, you need to change your approach, maybe. You maybe need to change what you're saying, maybe, or how you're saying it. Sometimes we're just harsh, and people don't want nothing to do with it. I've said it many a times. I'm Independent Fundamental Baptist by conviction. I believe it's the right affiliation to have. But at times, we have sent people running down the road over harshness, yeah, over just being harsh. Right. We had the truth, but we were harsh. Well, I've heard people preaching before, and something comes up, somebody comes to their mind, they call them out by name and just address it right there. You've sent people running down the road when you do that. They'll go down the road. Truth needs to be spoken in the right way, in the right tones. So sometimes we think, well, as long as it's truth, it don't matter how I administer it. No, it does matter. It should be for the purpose of developing Christians in the knowledge of God. It should be for instructing them, improving their mind, which leads to the heart, which leads to a changed life. And harshness won't get it done. My goal as your pastor is to preach the truth and lay it plainly, as plain as God gives it to me, for the purpose of edifying. I want you to grow. I want to grow. We may feel like the Holy Spirit's beating us down at times. I feel like the Holy Spirit's beating me down at times. Sarah, sometimes I'll leave the house and I mean everything's going great, and I'll come back from preparing my message, and she's like, "What happened?" Well, for one, my toes got all stepped on while I was preparing the message, and the devil was fighting me in my office because he didn't want me to prepare it and don't want me to preach it. So every day is a battle. Literally every day in the pastorate is a battle. Every day is a fight. And that's just dealing with the devil. That's just dealing with also getting my own toes stepped on and preparing messages for my own spiritual growth. That's not counting all the other responsibilities and all the other things that happen in the pastorate that you have to deal with. That's not counting all of those things. Every day is a battle. At times, we may feel like the Holy Spirit is beating us down at times, but the Holy Spirit of God is working on us for our growth. I was just thinking about this this morning. I mean, the Lord allows significant trials to come across our way. I mean, he led the disciples. I mean, he called them into the boat to go across to the other side and knew there was a storm in between. And he called them into it. And the Lord will allow us and will call us into storms just as he did with the disciples. And God wants to use it to grow us, and the devil wants to use it to beat us down. And I can't tell you how many times the Lord has given somebody something for their growth, and Christians decide to wallow around on the floor in self-pity because that's where the devil wants to keep them. You won't grow down there. Every day is going to be a battle. Get used to it. Every day is a fight. Go ahead and get used to it. If you don't get used to it now, you don't learn to depend on God now to get through it, you won't make it. You won't grow. You'll wallow around at the bottom. You'll wallow around in self-pity. You'll never grow. You'll never change. And you won't do anything significant for God. You got to learn to deal with the battles as they come. The Holy Spirit of God works on us for our growth, and the devil wants to use the exact same trial, the exact same affliction, to get us to turn our backs on God. It's encouragement to grow. And sometimes we're thinking, well, I don't feel too encouraged right now. When we feel convicted about our sin. But it's an encouragement to give that sin to God and then to grow from it. And then put some distance between you and whatever that sin is. It's encouragement to do right, encouragement to surrender. But at times we take it not for what it is when we rebel. When we are rebelling, it becomes the rod of correction instead of encouraging to grow. You're going to get the rod of correction from God. He'll put something across your path and he'll say, he'll lead you to surrender it to him. And when you don't, he's going to change his means. He's patient, he's long-suffering, but he's going to get your attention. He's going to wake you up. Now, you still have a choice. The fire's turned up to 1,000 degrees, it feels like, and you're wanting to hang on to your sin. You still have a choice. You can keep going through the conflict. You can keep going through the pain because of your sin, or you can just give it to God. I mean, you still have a choice. Sometimes God has to break the wheel to bring about our growth. One of the most important parts of this verse comes in at the end, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. One of the biggest reasons to be gentle and not harsh is because we are ministers of grace. The grace that God has bestowed upon us, unmerited favor. And this is the favor that we should extend to others. We should extend this grace to others. We are ministers of grace. those whose consequences have arrived, those who are unsaved, be a minister of grace that you should be. Be gentle unto all men and don't fulfill the work of the flesh harshness. We're to be gentle. We're to be gentle this morning. I do believe this applies to all of us. It applies to us every day. Again, something's going to happen. What is your response? Are you going to respond in gentleness or are you going to respond in harshness? Whatever we respond, that's our indication of where we are. And you know what? When we respond harshly, we need to go. We need to get with God. We need to confess that. We need to go to the individual. When you say, I'm sorry, I spoke to you harshly and I shouldn't have. Sometimes we fail to do that. And as I said before, in relationships, when people never apologize, when people never own up to their own sin, they never confess it to the person that they wronged, you're just sweeping it under the rug. Sweeping it right on underneath the living room rug. It's not being dealt with, and it's going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's sad that some things lead to a broken marriage because they just weren't dealt with. Some things end up being a lost friendship because things just weren't dealt with. If you value the relationship, if you value their friendship, deal with what's there. Apologize for it. I have to apologize every week. Sarah apologizes to me. You know what? We have times where, you know what, things just aren't going too well. We're both wearing the weight of it, and we respond in a way that reflects what's going on the inside, and we both have to say, you know what, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. I shouldn't have responded that way. I shouldn't have said that. Or I shouldn't have given you that look. It happens. It does. But you got to take care of it. You don't move on until you take care of it. It's still there. The same with our sin. When we go, if we don't confess it to God, it's still there. It's still in between you and heaven for eternity. It's still in between you and fellowship. It's still between you and your relationship with God. It's still there. It's not taken care of till you deal with it. That's another thing. If you've never placed faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning, if you've never taken care of what is between you and God, I encourage you to take care of that this morning and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your word. It is powerful, Lord. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It does pierce our heart at times, and we don't always like that. But in the end, Lord, we thank you for it, for what it does to us. Help us, Lord, to apply your truths to our heart and our life. There's one here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. May they take care of that today before it's too late. Today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Let's pray in Jesus' name.